Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Good evening and welcome to the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast live on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. This is Greg DeMarc, the co-host with the most here with Martez Ale this morning, and conspicuous by his absence, the Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz. I just want to say, you know, Day-Day's out there listening, man. I love you, brother. Get well soon. He's going through some stuff. He's not been well. You know, the trinity that is the Texan, the Mark, and Martez, you know, we're men of faith. And I'd like to ask all of our listeners that are, you know, of faith as well, if you could say a prayer for the Southwest Texan, keep him in your prayers that he gets well, gets back here soon. Next week, we got our big finale. We're going to be promoting some things. We have some things in the works planned to for this great big finale week we're going to have on the 29th. Not just us, but the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. And also, you know, I want to talk about Martez has a big event coming up. I'm excited for. I love Christmas. I love some Christmas music. Martez, tell us about what you got going on here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Greg. And I want to just add to what you said about Southwest. Certainly my prayers are with you, Southwest. Hopefully you come back with a speedy recovery. And Greg, I couldn't have said it more better than you, man. So I commend you on starting the show off like that, brother. Now, in regards to the Christmas election show, Christmas song selection show, I always say this, three years of doing this, like, this is one of the more important shows that I love to do, because Christmas music, Christmas is important to me. You know, it's important to a lot of people. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, it's a good time of the year. And this year is going to be a three-hour show instead of a two-hour show. People are welcome to call in, maybe request a song, maybe talk about favorite moments in their life pertaining to Christmas. So it's going to be a good time. Hopefully we play some of your favorite hits. That's pretty much it. So that's November the 7th. Right here on
November
this
7th.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. I actually love Christmas music. And I think, you know, once November comes, man, once Halloween is over, to me, it's Christmas season, man. The turkeys, the, you know what I mean, all that late fall stuff, that's all Christmas stuff to me.
Come on, man. And you know what? Like, some people, they whine and complain that you're playing Christmas music at the end of October, but Christmas just doesn't have to be on December 25th. Like you say, Christmas is from October to January. You know, it's a celebration.
November 1st.
Yeah. Yeah, November. How do you get that? No October, huh? You're not about that first action, huh?
That's right. That's right. They are, and I'm going to go on and say it, man. My probably number two favorite Christmas song is Mariah Carey, man. I Want for Christmas Is You. Love that song, dude. I know that song gets a lot of hate, but I'm a big fan of it.
It's a great song. After like 5 weeks of hearing this, and I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself. After 5 weeks of hearing it, I kind of get tired of it, but it is nonetheless.
Yeah,
one of the
but
top...
it's only around for them 5 to 10 weeks a year.
That's true. But yo, bro, one of my
I gotta admit, that's not one I pull up on my YouTube playlist in like July or June. You know what I mean? When I'm cruising in the truck with the windows down on the way to a wrestling show, it's not one I pull up.
Hey, I know this is a wrestling show, but I like that Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time. I don't know if you heard that before, but that's probably
that's
my
a good
favorite
one too. Yeah. My wife likes that one a lot. Mary Did You Know is my favorite Christmas song, actually. The version with Kenny Rogers and Wynonna.
I need to find that
version. Check it out. That's my favorite.
Yeah, because I never heard it. I might have heard it before.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. It's actually in my my Christian song playlist on my on my YouTube.
Oh, come on. Great.
Yeah,
Greg,
that's awesome.
Know.
So, also... we have wrestling coming back inside.
Ooh, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, finally. Finally, indoor wrestling. Man, not a minute too soon, man. It's getting cold out here. And I told Dana a few weeks ago when we were at a show, I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it to Horror Slam on the 17th, which... It was chilly, but we made it. We endured it. There's another, and it's like every time I say I'm not going, like the closer it gets, and all my friends are hyping this shit, and they're all, you know, like my friends are on these shows. They're like, oh my God, that's a great match. And I'm like, oh, I want to go, and oh, I don't want to go, but God, I want to go. TKW has a very fun looking show this Saturday.
Bro, that's some dedication right there to go watch a wrestling event outside when it's getting cold. I think I saw a Facebook Live the other day. I don't know if it was from you or somebody else that you may know, and they were broadcasting the event. Now, it wasn't a lot of people who were there at the time when I was watching it, but I really had respect, and I want to give props to the people that were there because it was definitely cold.
The show, it was surprising. That was Pro Wrestling All-Stars on Sunday that I couldn't go for other reasons. And, dude, it was a $5 show. They ran it in the same venue that that Horror Slam was in the night before. They just left the ring there and, you know, set up for a Sunday afternoon show. It was only $5 tickets, and not a lot of people came out. I don't know if, you know, they were burned out or people were busy, but... it was surprising to me that not many people went to that show. And, I mean, I would have been there, and, you know, just life was happening. Day-Day would have been there, but, you know, he's been sick. And, you know, that I know some people had, you know, different reasons for not going, but I was really surprised that it had such a low turnout. There was, I think, 150 to 200 people at Horror Slam on Saturday. It was a pretty good show. For the record, MM3 – defeated Zach Thomas, but the fireworks flew after the match. After a show of respect, the now former tag team champions, the Bitcoin Boys, came out and they just destroyed MM3 and Jeremiah Goldmain like cowards, like a pack of freaking cowards and sore losers. And now I'm gonna shit on Zach Thomas and the Bitcoin Boys. The Bitcoin Boys had to give the rematch to Bulking Season, who were never pinned for the titles, mind you. They pinned Daddy's Money. And two out of three tables, 2-0. Bulking Season won decisively in that match. But then, I mean, I guess we call this a new faction at Horror Slam. We had Zach Thomas and the Bitcoin Boys, you know, positively established themselves as a presence and obviously as a faction. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes from here. I know I'm excited to see, and the next opportunity to see that is going to be November 27th, back indoors. I can't remember the venue, but it's at 7:30 on a Saturday night. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it. It is my 10th wedding anniversary, and I would definitely have nuclear heat if I attended that event.
Mean about that life, huh?
You know? Dude, that could last a long time. There's no telling how long. And even if I were able to talk her in to agreeing to go, it would still be heat that I would carry for years. I would never forget that on her 10th wedding anniversary, she was at a lousy deathmatch show.
You'll be in trouble, man.
Yeah, I definitely didn't marry a big fan. She likes the blood and guts, and she does. She enjoys the, you know, the indie wrestling, even though she's not going to sit and watch wrestling on TV. She did, you know, when she was younger and when we first got together when we were teenagers. It's actually, it'll be 23 years we've been together and 10 years married. But, you know, she tolerated it when, you know, in the Attitude Era when we met. But, yeah, her TV wrestling days are long behind her.
It's a wrap. You know, a lot of times I feel like,
yes,
you know, some people, she's not missing nothing. So, much as I love mainstream wrestling,
she's
sometimes
really not.
I'm not missing. They're not wowing me like they used to, although I'm a WWE apologist through and through, even though most of their stuff is crap.
And that's the thing. It's like, it goes from I hate to miss it to I don't mind if I miss it. Then I'd rather just catch the results and see what my friends say about it, you know?
Exactly, bro. You know, and what I like about you guys' show, I don't even know if I would ever be able to do that on my show, talk about indie wrestling, you know, now let alone deathmatch, because I've had no clue about it before I met you all. I'm still trying to learn the game of it and how it works. But that surprised me because it seems as if you, like, you are a professor or the guru of it, because the way you all speak.
I just appreciate wrestling. And if you watch something with an open mind, like, I didn't go to Horror Slam necessarily to see deathmatch wrestling. It was there. And that's how I got exposed to a lot of these, like, deathmatch guys. And that's actually how Day-Day and I met. And, you know, and you watch the matches, and, you know, if you really appreciate wrestling, you can appreciate them for what they are if they tell a story. And some of them you can appreciate as just a spot fest, because some of them are just that, you know what I mean? But some of them I've learned through watching it, you know, being around it, that guys that do it a lot and are passionate about it care that to tell a story with it, and for it to be a, you know, intriguing, like, oh, I don't know who's going to win match, instead of just, oh, what, which broken pile of glass is going to be the spot that ends it, you know?
And I'm glad you said it, because that's dedication, and that's somebody that's truly passionate about the sport. Now, some wrestlers, you know, they're not truly passionate about it, but I feel like if you're a deathmatch wrestler, you're passionate about it, because you're going through glass, thumbtacks, whatever it is. I've seen some gory stuff that I feel bad that these people.
That's why I love Day-Day's question. He asks every deathmatch guy, like, what made you choose deathmatch wrestling? Some people say it chose them. A lot of guys say, I'm not a deathmatch wrestler. Some guys resent that, even guys that do deathmatches. Especially guys, you know, that worked hard to train and just want to be respected as professional wrestlers.
Right. And I got a question. We do have a call. I don't know if he wants to come on, but it's a special call. But you're the boss of the show, so let me know when you want me to go to the phone call.
Sure, absolutely, man.
All right. I don't know if he just wanted to listen.
I'm kind of winging it here without the Texan, man. I'm usually just, you know, I've always said, man, I'm just a third wheel. I'm just like the fly on the window. I'm along for the ride, enjoying the ride. And tonight, I'm here for Day-Day, and I'm here to make him proud. And make you proud, brother.
Oh, no, man. You're doing it, man. But
you are
me,
the chain that moves the cogs, brother.
I'm just doing my part, man.
The glue that holds it all together.
This person is on the air right now.
Hey.
Welcome
what's
to the
going
radar.
On, everybody? It's your host with the most Southwest Texas Day crew. What's going on, everybody?
What's up,
oh, man. So glad to hear from you, brother. We're here, man. I'm here for you. I'm going to make you proud. That's got a special show. Got a few people scheduled to call in. We had man, I ain't been bothering you with it. We had I had a exciting guest. Unfortunately, 17 minutes to air. They had to unfortunately cancel, and I made a couple calls to a couple friends, and I think you're going to be pleased. I think it's going to be a good show.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it, or I can't wait to hear it. But I just called to let everybody know that I'm okay, and Greg ain't going to let you guys down, and I'm just going to sit here and listen to the show and let Greg host it for me. And Greg, you ain't got to do me proud, man. You do me proud every show, man. And Martez, I appreciate you, brother.
You're my brother, and you've left me some big shoes to fill.
Oh, no, nah, man. You can step into my shoes fine. Remember, I'm shorter than you, man. Don't forget that.
No, I'm sorry. That's right.
So, yeah, so I'm going to step back and let you guys enjoy Greg the Mark while the Southwest Texan takes an unwanted day off. So I'm just going to sit here and listen to the show. I'll talk to you guys later. You guys are my brother. I love you guys.
Thank you, Day-Day. I love you too, brother. My prayers are with you.
Always,
man,
always, brother.
Good to hear from him.
Yes, sir. So I'll be listening.
Yeah, I've been
Day-Day.
In constant contact with Day-Day every day. I'm man, I'm glad that he was able to call in. He's you know.
Hold on, Greg. I think he had something else to say before I put him. I thought he was. Are you still there, Day-Day?
Oh, yeah, I didn't have nothing to say. I just said I wanted to say I love you guys, and I'm going to be listening to the show.
All right, cool, brother. All right, we put you back on mute.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely told me he'd be listening. I'm glad he came on to say hi. We always good to hear from the Texan, man. It was, I tell you, I knew he was not okay when he didn't go to Horse Slam. Like, that's why I was like, wow, he's really not feeling good. And but that's okay at this point, you know. Instead of just saying, I don't feel good, he's getting things taken care of, and that's what's important. My brother's going to get well, and hopefully he's going to be well and ready for our big finale next week. And hopefully everything we have planned goes to plan. If not, we'll wing it like we do sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And then either way, go Day-Day, go be part of the finale. Whatever happens, we go make him proud.
Absolutely.
Like
and we got a lot of friends of the show, man. They want to give a shout out to Gina and Jason, man. Probably our biggest fans. You know, I get a message from Jason, you know, telling us he enjoyed the show. And if you're listening, Jason, we appreciate your messages, man. We appreciate you calling. We appreciate your support, as we appreciate everybody who supports us, from, you know, talent wrestlers that, you know, give us their time to come on and chat with us, to, you know, the fans that listen with us, and the ones that call in to talk to us. We it's definitely all about you guys, because if no one's listening, well, what's the point?
True that. And
yeah, they are always exciting, man. You always got big things going on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. So what do we have coming up tonight on the gorilla position?
Yeah, they're going to be covering their indie promotion CSW and Chicagoland Pro Wrestling. They're going to be talking about that, but they're also going to shift maybe in the second hour and talk about a lot of AEW, WWE, along with the United Wrestling Network, NWA. They touch a lot of stuff on that show. It's always a crazy ride on that show. So that is what they're going to be talking about in a couple of hours. I wish I could stop saying but I've never been able to just eliminate that out of my speech.
I think a lot of people do it and don't even realize it. We have that Chicago promotion, man, that shit's lit. I checked it out. I started following, especially with Gina and Stacy, and that whole beef. It was, it intrigued me. I got emotionally invested in that story, even though, I did finally decide to take a side, and I usually will take the heel side. I can just sympathize with a heel, a good heel, yeah. Especially.
Oh, absolutely, and he's a good heel. Like I've never had a chance to actually see him wrestle, but I've seen pictures of him, and he looks like a bad dude. Simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I go off a lot of pictures too, and I got so many friends on social media, like nationwide, and I see the things they post and the posters they post, and sometimes you do like, man, I like that guy. I don't know who the fuck that guy is, but I like that guy.
Right. Yeah. It's funny you bring up heel, man. Most days, bro, I want to go heel. I don't know why, but I want to go heel. And it's crazy. You want to be nice. You want to be a good person, but
it's easier than being nice. It's way easier.
Yeah. Yes.
Just tell everybody how you feel and just tell everybody the truth. Heel. Done. So instead of being nice, tell them the truth.
Yeah, we do know.
And there you go. You're heel.
As simple as that. We do have another call.
Absolutely, it is.
Hey, absolutely, and I think I'm going in that direction. We'll see. I just don't want to overdo it. I want to be like a anti hero, like a Stone Cold, not fully heel, but
that's right. Just ease into it. And that was the thing about Stone Cold was, and the same with The Rock. He's a heel, and he's talking that mess, but he's telling the truth. And, he's telling everybody the truth. It's coming off evasive, and then it comes off as entertaining. Well, yeah, tell anybody off. Same with Stone Cold. Telling anybody off. Telling his boss off. Who doesn't want to go tell their boss off?
Man, everybody.
You can't hate that guy forever. That's how you go from heel to anti-hero.
100%. And
is it your cause? I don't know if it's even your cause. It's
You bring up a good point. That's a good point.
That's why. Speaking of a good heel, man, Briar Wellington, the Horror Slam Deathmatch champion, he defended the title against old school Rick Cartier, who actually started his feud with Chuck Stein at Pro Wrestling All-Stars, whacked him upside his head with a chain in his first title defense, and Dread King Logan became the champion, and they went on to have a series of matches, a dog collar match, So, old school Rick Hardy, I like this guy, dude. He's a heel, he's a dick. Like, yeah, I like this guy. Dude, he played a face and wrestled Briar Wellington, and he was defeated by the Undisputed King, and that rat bastard whooped Zeke's ass for no reason. And you know me, dude. I'm fuck Zeke all day, I stay mad at Zeke. But this one, man, this one might not be on Zeke. This one's on you, Rick Cartier, you son of a bitch. Man, you dropped Zeke on his nugget piece twice. I'll have to send you the video.
Yeah, do that.
Brutalize poor Zeke. Zeke is not a performer. Sometimes, you know, Zeke might need slapped around a little bit, but Rick Cartier went too far. I mean, Zeke, these guys, they got broken glass, thumbtacks all over the place. I mean, what do you want Zeke to do?
Zeke was in trouble.
For the record, Zeke got a thumbtack in his hand. Zeke not only got a thumbtack in his hand, he was then brutalized by old school Rick Cartier. So,
are these legitimate thumbtacks? I always wanted to ask this. I know this is probably a stupid question that I'm asking.
Absolutely. It's funny. I put on these shoes. I got these mostly black with some red Nikes, and they match like my red MM3 shit like perfect. And I must not have wore these shoes since the last time I had gone to Horror Slam. So I put my shoes on, and I'm walking to the door, and I got hardwood, and my foot's going tick, tick, tick. And I pick up my foot, and there's three thumbtacks stuck in the bottom of my Air Force One. They are absolutely real thumbtacks. And they are, oh, my God, dude. I mean, have you ever been stabbed with a thumbtack? I mean, even a little bit? I mean, yeah they're not real long. It's not going to hit an organ. But motherfucking ouch, you know? This is another thing. Do you know what a gusset plate is?
Never heard of
it. It's like a rectangular piece of steel with big spikes on it. Google it when you get a chance, a gusset plate at Home Depot. And it's used to mend two boards together, okay? I have one covered in Chuck Stein's blood that was buried in his chest. And the gusset plate spots are always also so actually something else I want to talk about is really exciting. So it looked like it was going to be Peter B. Beautiful one-on-one with I Am the Provider, that he's the promoter for Slave to the Death Match in Denver, Colorado. He won the title at Slave to the Death Match in Denver, Colorado a couple weeks ago. And they announced it was going to be a triple threat match. And music plays, here comes the Soul Taker, who has already wrestled. He defeated Trezeguio, and after he defeated him, he chokeslammed him into a casket, closed him in the casket, and his minions carried him off to the back. So Soul Taker comes out, like, oh, geez, Soul Taker, I've never seen him I guess I've seen him in some hardcore matches, body bag matches. He had a heck of a feud with Peter B. Beautiful last year, and the minions carry out the casket like, you know, they always do. And they stood up the casket and they pull the door open and it's Chuck Stein inside. I'm getting goosebumps telling you about it, man. It was so exciting because a few months ago, Chuck Stein lost a Loser Leaf Horror Slam match to Peter B. Beautiful. So Chuck Stein comes out of the casket and his music hits and everybody goes nuts, you know? And, it was a lot of fun, man. The match, that was the main event. It was a death match, brutal. Chuck Stein stuck hypodermic needles through the cheeks of both guys, like multiples, all the way through, bro, in and out. just one part of it. The skewers, you know, rip open a whole pack of skewers, probably, I don't know, 20, 30 skewers, and just palm strike the bottom of the skewers and stick them right in somebody's nugget piece. It was a triple threat match, man. It went all over the place. But in the end, the Dirty White Boy, Chucky Three Belts, is once again the Horror Slam Deathmatch champion.
That's a beautiful thing.
It was. It was special. It was a cool moment. And I think we talked about it last week, Dede and I on the show, that Peter and Chuck Stein won the Pro Wrestling All-Stars Tag Team titles. They actually defended them on Sunday. I'm not sure who against, but they're still the Horror Slam Death, or the PWAS, Pro Wrestling All-Stars Tag Team Champions. And, it's fun because it's an unlikely duo of guys that are great rivals, you know. So it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Nice.
So we
do have two callers on the line.
Sorry about that.
That's
funny because I was going to plug the number. Hey, that's what Day Day would do. That's why I keep asking myself, what would Day Day do right now?
What would Day Day do? We need to embrace it. Like, what
Day Day
would
say, anybody wants to, you know, join in the fun, give us a call at 646-668-8672. Holler at your boy, the Mark. Let us know how you feel about what's going on, what's going on TV. I actually just seen yesterday that Eddie Kingston is getting a shot at John Moxley. That excites me. Eddie Kingston has, you know, been known as an indie guy so long, and he was. I heard people say he's overrated. That's because they only follow certain wrestling. If you don't know who Eddie Kingston is, then you only follow certain wrestling. And Eddie Kingston's a great talent. He actually main evented against my boy, The Process, MM3. That actually we mentioned that last week when we were on with Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas tried to, you know, kind of piss on the way that MM3 won. But at the end of the day, The Process got the three. He's still the Midwest Heavyweight Champion. And that was, I think, last August, early August of last year, Eddie Kingston and MM3 went at it. At the Warrior Rampage show, it was in Pontiac, Michigan. Quite a show. And XICW is coming back indoors on November 7th at the Hot Rocks in Warren. It's going to be a good time. It's I'm glad to see indoor venues opening up. Unfortunately, I'm going to be honest because I always am. I've noticed, and I know why, ticket prices are a little bit higher than they were. It was about an average of $15 a head for a table at XICW, so it was like $45 for a table for three. That table's now $55, but people need to understand that they can't pack the places like they could. They can only sell a limited amount of tickets, and if you're supporting what you love, all this talent needs to get paid. He's got, you know, they're performing, and they deserve to be paid, and, you know, the only way that can happen, I mean, you got to pay for venues, you got to pay for talent, everything costs money, you know. So, but again, I mean, we're talking about a difference of like $3 a ticket. But the tables for four were actually $70, which, you know, you get a little more value there. The tables for six are sold out. We'll be ringside at a table for XICW as well. I look forward to a lot of other promotions, you know, either finding an indoor venue or, you know, hopefully opening up soon. BCWA, the Blue Collar Championship Wrestling, they run out of the Copeland Center, I believe it's in Wyandotte, and they've not ran since the pandemic. And Mike Blackwell, the promoter, has come on social media to let people know, yes, we're still alive and well, that they have the fans' best interest at heart. They just want to keep everybody safe. And that's their number one priority. And just, I truly believe, is all promoters' number one priority. That's why, you know, some promotions didn't run until, you know, later summer, like XICW, which they did it in a way with, where they could guarantee social distancing, and, you know, even though everybody was outside, they were able to keep everyone a safe distance apart, and, you know, everybody that was there was comfortable, and Pro Wrestling All-Stars waited, and, you know, and they also have the social distancing with the chairs and everything for the most part. I mean, it's at least available. The seats are set up the way they're set up, but there's plenty of room to spread your seats out if that's, you know, to feel comfortable. So it's good to see that life is going on, or, you know, starting to return in, you know, independent professional wrestling. And actually we're starting to see some, even football venues are allowing certain amounts of fans in. So
yeah,
hopefully things.
Yeah, I think if I could just add a little bit two cents in, like, people are at the point where they don't care anymore. People got to make money. You know, people want to entertain other people. So there's certain businesses, certain promotions that want it, that's basically saying, forget it. We're going to let you come inside because the show must go on. You know, and unfortunately, people get sick and death happens, but the show must go on. And I hope other promotions start to let people inside, i.e. WWE.
I completely agree. And it's like you said, it's my opinion, like they say the numbers are rising. You know what I mean? The threat hasn't gone away. Whatever they do, whatever's going on is going on. And if you're in the at-risk group, yeah, absolutely protect yourself at all costs. But like you said, the average person, I would say 7 to 8, 9 out of 10. I do service work. I go into people's homes. And even in that, like, you know, we cover our shoes, cover, you know, and I carry alcohol. We have sanitizer, you know, and we cover our face. And that most people are telling me, you don't have to wear the mask if you don't want to. And if you want me to wear a mask, I will. Or, you know what I mean? Like you said, people don't care anymore. They're just over it. And a lot of people, especially if they feel they're not in the at-risk group, is like, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. But everybody is ready to live their life again. And professional wrestling is one of the, I don't know what you call it, businesses, or, yeah, I guess businesses that have seriously suffered over this stuff. And you see other certain types of shops, and then, you know, your bars, and they tried to, you know, save the restaurants by, you know, letting people eat there again. And but a lot of businesses, especially certain types of businesses, were kind of like, yeah, oh well, for you guys. And I feel like professional wrestling was one of them, especially when we got guys that are finding 3-4 bookings a week. There are guys in this area that are professional wrestlers, and they have no, guys call it a shoot job. They, you know, this is their living. And most of the guys doing this and busting their ass, the goal is, and a lot of guys have told me, like, you ask most guys, like, what is your goal? Is your goal WWE? Is it AEW? A lot of these guys will tell you that their goal is to make a living doing this, to just be able to pay their bills doing this, to do this and not have to, you know, work in an office or a yard or, you know, where, whatever it is, a factory, where, wherever it is you work in, you know, for a 9-to-5. And I know, you know, a lot of guys have aspirations outside of their day job. And I would encourage anybody to pursue your dreams.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Now, Greg, we do have these callers on the line.
Yeah, sorry. I was fielding a message there. So if anybody wants to call in, the number is 646-668-8672. We got, actually should have some callers calling in here shortly from told.
Yeah, they actually been up for like a while now, like 7 minutes or so. So they're here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Could you give me the one that I told you I was expecting at about quarter after six?
let me screen this call. Let me find out who these people are first, and then I'll
Thank
let you,
you
know. No problem.
Thank you. So coming up here soon, we're going to have Metro Pro Wrestling is going to have a heck of a show out there. Oh, shoot, I can't remember the name of the place. But we got a great big match going on there. We're going to see the return of Jack Knox. My boy, love me some Jack Knox. By the way, he's a friend of Bubba Licious. He is a veteran, and I look forward to his big return here coming up. And he will be facing Electric Eric Ely in a I Appreciate You match. So we're going to talk about that a little more here coming up. And we're also going to talk a little more coming up about Horror Slam and what transpired on Sunday. No, I'm sorry, Saturday that was. So, also, coming up this week, we're going to have Pro Wrestling All-Stars once again. And actually, I'm on.
All right, Greg.
I'm trying to pull up that. Yes, sir.
All right, we have Matt. He's here, and DJ's here, as well as Jason. But Matt is ready to come on now.
Matt is the guest I've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, the promoter of New Breed, the man who has sold out every show he's promoted, the man who made Electric Eric Ely. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, you may know him as Matt Breeding. I know him as the leader of Team Nazi, Jack Knox. My friend, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation on such short notice, man.
For sure, for sure.
I really appreciate it, but I really want to talk about this. Because, see, I have felt that Eric Ely could have gotten ahead, you know, in other ways.
Not for sure.
But, you know, now here we are. The guy, he sat complacent on the pedestal that you set him on.
Mm-hmm.
Did he not?
Yep. He did. You know, the thing about Eric, when I first started New Breed, it was like, it was perfect timing, right? Because he was finishing training, and he was going to be done, like, cleared to wrestle a couple weeks before my first New Breed show. And since it was New Breed, we were focusing on new talent, I decided I went up to the school and was looking for a couple guys to give them their first match. And Eric obviously had the look. He had the fan, you know, like, because of his connections to U of M, he already had a built-in fan base. So I give him a shot on the show. First show, he goes out there, I had him wrestle my trainer, Brian Shotwell. He beat him, and you know, in the second match. The very next show, I put him in the main event. And pretty much every show after that, I put him in the main event. But as time went on, he started making more and more demands out of me. Like, instead of being happy that you're less than a couple months into the business and you're being featured as the main eventer now, Craig, you know, you've been around long enough, that don't normally happen with people that have been in the business a couple years. So here I am giving this guy this major opportunity, which, to his defense, we were selling out. You know, as much, I can't say it's all because of him, but he was a big portion of the reason we were selling out.
Yeah. And the Ely section is electric, and that presence is definitely it's there. It's a heavy presence.
Right, for sure. And, you know, so I just, at the time, I thought he was a great young kid. We were selling out, so, and he had starring all over him. So I was like, all right, let's just keep running with him. But I guess I had several people, veterans that I've known, because I've been in the business 18 years. And I had several people tell me, like, you're going to let him get an ego. This guy's got an ego. You better stop. But I didn't listen because I cared about the kid. And I thought he was going to do big things. And then all of a sudden, he just gets, like, towards the end of New Breed, he kept on telling me, making demands on who he wanted to wrestle and what he was going to do. I'm the boss. I'm the guy, right? Like, you may be the star that I'm making a star. But without me doing what I do for you, you ain't nothing. Like, he hasn't main evented anywhere else but New Breed. And then the pandemic hit, and I'm not running New Breed right now. I'm actually planning on – I'm shooting for February, depending on if our venue – we're still waiting to hear back from the venue, seeing how they feel about the virus. But during the pandemic, both me and Eric took time off. And ironically, we were both scheduled to come back at the same promotion, which was Metro Pro Wrestling. And Bubba contacted me and me and Bubba have history because we were the board of directors 10 years ago when I was actually wrestling, because I broke my neck about 8 years ago. It took basically the last 8 years off. But Bubba asked me to come back and help him run stuff. And I just sat there and let it simmer for like 3 or 4 months that I was away from the business, the same 3 or 4 months that Eric was away from the business. And it really bothered me that he was telling me what to do when I was making him a star. And it was bothering me that he showed me like no appreciation at all. None whatsoever. He's talking about how Verdi's his, you know, Greg King Logan's his guy. He's doing workout videos with Robert Keel, which is the guy that I made him a feud with in New Breed. But never once you ever hear him say or anything, thank you to me. And it got to me. So the first show that we had, Bubba's first outdoor show, Metro Pro's first outdoor show, I ref his match, and I did it on purpose because I had every intention to do something. I decided to go with a low blow, but I had every intention to do something just to put him in check. I was going to end it at that point. You know what I mean? Just let him know, like, I made you. Now check your ego, realize that I made you, and let's get back to business of making you a star. But him and his stupid fans, you know, they may be electric and they do sell out venues and they are crazy, but they all started coming at me on social media, and I was like, you know what, I've had enough. And I was thinking about coming out of retirement anyways, because I promised my kids that someday they'd get to see me wrestle live. And all of a sudden, the plans are in the process, and here we are, me and Eric, on November 7th for wrestling for Wyatt for Metro Pro at the RK Hall. So, I mean, for me...
And I've seen, you have nothing but confidence that you are going to prevail.
Absolutely nothing. Like, here's the thing. Eric's been doing this for a couple of years. I've been in the business 18 years, and 11 of those years, I was in the ring every weekend. I mean, there's no reason I got down to the WWE developmentals. I was in the minor leagues when I broke my neck. You know what I mean? So I've wrestled the John Cena's. I've wrestled the Tyson Kidd's. I've wrestled the Fandangos. I've wrestled people that he can't even imagine about wrestling. Eric's good for a rookie. You know what I mean? With the pandemic, he's essentially still a rookie. He hasn't had enough matches. He's good for a rookie, but he's not on my level. And the thing that gives me even more confidence is he's making me out to be a joke, so he's not taking me seriously. I mean, you've seen that, right?
I agree. I think that's going to be his downfall, because my honest opinion, and you're my brother, you're a very good friend of mine. This guy, physically, we ain't having a fucking bench press contest. You will lose.
Right.
We're not going to have a push-up contest. You will lose. There's a fucking wrestling match.
Yep.
You know,
there's
a lot more goes into it, you know, than muscles. I mean, and I knew in, February, March, that you were planning to return?
Yep.
That's what people don't get, is that, oh, he's just sitting there, you know, I seen this promo, he's just sitting there on Facebook and, oh, I'm going to pretend I worked out. Motherfucker, do you know this guy has been cardio preparing for ring shape for 8 months, because it's a shoot. I know you were.
Yeah,
I was at your house.
Yep.
In
the shoot.
What, March?
Shoot.
April?
Yep. Yep.
And
a couple times
you were preparing for a return then. Not necessarily preparing to wrestle Ely, but preparing to get back in ring shape, because like you said, you wanted your children to see you wrestle. Your children are fans. They want to see you wrestle. And, you know, you were going to make them proud. And you didn't decide 2 months ago to punch Ely in the dick and fight him 2 months later. That's I know firsthand that you have been preparing your body. And I mean, you know, you don't get the reps that a guy like you has gotten without getting that muscle memory that, you know, this is a wrestling match. It's not going to be a bench press contest. It's not going to be an arm wrestling contest. It's going to be a wrestling match in a ring.
Right, and the thing about it is, he's kind of made me psychotic. And you know what I loved? I mean, if you watch how social media's played out, him and his fans are talking about how much he's gonna kick my ass, right? But correct me if I'm wrong. At the end of that last match, I beat his ass. Like we go back to that first match, I give him a low blow. At the end of the second match, I was Justin Pilgrim's manager. I knew Pilgrim could have kicked out of that sky.
Yeah,
Eric
didn't knock
so damaged. I got in there. I screwed him up. Eric couldn't move. I give Eric chops during the match. It bloodied up his chest. Eric, he's a body guy. All right, cool. He's strong. I'm a strapper. I'm a fighter. I'm going to do whatever the hell it takes to win a fight. Like
yeah,
Eric's had everything handed
Ely
to him.
Ely will not. He's admitted it himself. I told him, man, why don't you gouge an eye? Why don't you, dude, that's why these guys are getting over on you, man, because you won't do that.
Right.
They will. Jack Knox will.
Oh, absolutely.
Jack Knox
he's
will.
He always runs his mouth.
And there's no DQ, and I appreciate you, match.
Absolutely. I'm telling you right now, the stuff that I have planned for him, I'm not losing this fight. And I'm not coming in there. My kids are going to be there. My girlfriend's flying in from freaking New Jersey. Like, you think I'm going to walk in there and lose in front of all of them? You know how much those people mean to me. Absolutely not. And here's the thing. I still want Eric, once New Breed comes back around, to be a star for New Breed. But I know in order for him to help us get to the next level, he's got to be humble. I'm going
to
be the one
to need him to humble himself.
You know, like, and I'm not stopping until I hear those words. I appreciate you from him because you know what? I'm over it. I'm so over it with him. And then he wants to go get Cody Fleming involved and all that crap. Why does he have to have everybody fight his battles? I don't need anybody. He's got him. He's got his brother helping him on the last show. Now he's got Cody Fleming helping him on this show. Like, if you're so great, then why do you got to have people fight your battles? When you go talk about New Breed,
he's starting to learn. He knows enough to know that he needs some advantage. He won't gouge eyes or grab a handful of tights. So
no,
he's grabbing a handful
not.
Of fellas.
Right. And the thing at the end of the day.
In the right direction for him.
At the end of the day, there's a couple of things I really want to point out here. At the end of the day, winning is going to get you to the next level. Winning is going to get you more money. I don't care how much money I win at the end of this, but I care about winning because I'm not losing in front of my kids. I'm not losing in front of my girlfriend. And I'm definitely not losing in my first match back in 8 years. But Eric needed somebody. What's that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
Eric has never been in a situation like this. He's never been in a fight. He's been in all these wrestling matches where he can use power to win. I know I need to bring out the side you're talking about, the eye gouging, the dirty, the do whatever it takes to win for him to get to the next level. And I will be the guy to do it because when he takes an ass whipping by me, he won't want to take another one. And then he'll smarten up to what he needs to do to win matches and what he needs to do to get to the next level.
Is this a must win for Jack Knox?
It is 100% a must win for Jack Knox. I'm not dumb. I know that I got a lot of people like you in this world, and I have a lot of people that will see what I write on social media and they think I'm a joke, that I'm not the person that I think I am.
I sit back and I see this shit and I laugh because I remember sitting and talking with you and you telling me how determined you were and you told me I need to get in shape. You told me this in February. It is October now. You're fighting him in November.
Yep.
It's nine months. Nobody understands that.
No, and nobody, like, they should see it even in the transformation of my body. When I quit wrestling, dude, I got up to 450 pounds. As of December of 18, I was 450 pounds. December of 19, I was 240. And that don't speak volumes.
That don't come
know
with hard work, bro. That don't happen without hard work, man. I mean,
right?
Yeah.
But like I said, Eric has had everything handed to him. I know a bit about his personal life. I know he's got rich parents that have handed him everything, and then my dumbass did it to him for New Breed. I'm his reality check. I'm the person that shows him what happens when he don't have everything handed to him and how hard it can be. So maybe he should appreciate somebody, if you know what I mean.
You know, you're an intelligent guy. You've been in the business for, what, 4 decades? The 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s,
yep.
And now the 2020s? 4 decades in the business?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
4 decades in the business, dude. It's a long time. You see a lot. You learn a lot. This guy wrestled Sean Spears, bro. This guy wrestled, you know what you say, you named laundry list. Had a banger with Sean Spears.
Dude, like, Sean Spears and me came up in the same wrestling school originally. Before I got to the House of Truth, I went to Canada, and me and him were part of a Harbor School of Wrestling. We were legit in a dorm together. I watched him make it. He was one of my best friends, and he's the reason that I got down to the minor leagues myself. I watched him get to where he is now. I watched the Highlanders get to where they are. Rosemary was someone that worked with me in the beginning in my original promotion, Groundbreaking Pro Wrestling. I had Colt Cabana around back then. Like, I've worked out with Batista. I've wrestled John Cena. I've wrestled Tyson Kidd. Like, Eric, honestly, I know he's got potential to be somebody in the future, but you tell me, with the list of names that I just give you, name me somebody that Eric has wrestled that's even close to that level.
See, I bring that up because I seen the picture that was posted of you doing something in the background as Batista's in the ring. I think it was Batista in the ring.
It was Batista,
like, I just laugh. I just laugh because I know. That's why I brought up the Sean Spears thing. Like, you're telling a part of a story, too. Dude, this Sean Spears match, people were booking that match.
Everywhere.
They were bringing them in and flying them in to book that match.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we wrestled in Canada, Michigan, Kentucky, Indiana. I mean, we wrestled all over Canada, Michigan. We've had matches in Indiana, Kentucky, Florida. Hell, we've main evented a WWE developmental show. Like, that says it all. You know what I mean? So.
And here's the point that I'm making. It's not that you were that guy, because that's what they're trying to say. Well, he was that guy. No, you are that guy, and you decided at the end of 2019 that you were going to return, and you've been working for a year towards a return.
Yep.
You are ready.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you're ready. I believe you're ring ready. I know you're mentally ready.
Mentally, I'm as good for in-ring. Like, let's put it this way. You know me well enough that I've had a lot of frustration over the last couple of years. You know who I'm going to take it all out on? Eric. Mentally, I'm so ready for a fight. Not a wrestling match, not a push-up contest. I'm ready to fight. Something that Eric knows nothing about. So mentally, there is absolutely, he's not ready for it. The fact that he's making joke videos.
I would not have guessed that. My guess was that you were going to embarrass him with wrestling. I understand the frustration.
I can out-wrestle him if I wanted to.
To win, how do you plan to make him say, I appreciate you? Are you going to beat it out of him? Or are you going to stretch it out of him?
I'm going to beat the shit out of him. You know what? And I'm thinking Concerto. Spoiler alert. I'm thinking if Eric is smart, he just goes in there and says, I appreciate you real quick and get this match over with. But if not, I'm thinking Concerto. I'm thinking put the chair on the mat,
put
his head lay in there. Yep. Dude, and then I'm gonna hold the freaking chair in the air, and I'm gonna give him one last chance to say he appreciates me. If not, his whole family's gonna see me take his head off with the chair. Like, I'm not even playing. You know what I mean? So I'm not coming in there to out wrestle him, because out wrestling him ain't gonna make him appreciate me. You know what I mean? People have out wrestled him before. His win loss record, he keeps stating it's because he gets low blows all the time, but his win-loss record as any rookie isn't that great. You know what I mean? Because people have out-wrestled him. But that's not going to teach him a lesson if I out-wrestle him. You know what I mean? That's not going
to
make him appreciate.
I think he needs to learn a lesson, because I really believe that he's taking you lightly. I really believe that he thinks you don't have a chance. I really believe that he believes the shit he's talking. I really believe he believes that.
Dude, there's no way you do that stupid video if you don't. And here's the thing, like, Eric knows me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows.
I'll give it to him. That was funny as fuck. That video was funny as fuck. I'll give him that. It was hilarious. It was.
It was.
And my
hilarious.
Friend was the
it
butt
was
of that joke, but it was pretty fucking funny.
And
I'm laughing secondhand at the fact that, you know, he really believes that you're sitting on the fucking couch watching Maury eating fucking, you know,
popcorn, whatever the hell. Yeah.
He really believes that. I really believe he believes that.
If you watch throughout the whole last few months as we built to this match, you know what I mean? He ignores certain things. Like, he's not got the up. Like, he's been in two matches where I low blowed him the first one. The second one, I beat the absolute dog shit out of him. He's had opportunities.
How about that bro cutter, though, that Atlas hit him with? Five-star
yes.
Bro cutter right there. Picture perfect.
Absolutely. I mean, it was perfect, though, coming straight out of my low blow. Right
I love
that.
That was
my
he's one
there.
Of my favorite wrestlers.
And that was a great match. You know what I mean? And Eric held his own to a point. But that was a joke. You know what I mean? That's why I was glad when I saw it with Hightower and Ely. Because I'm like, I didn't feel as bad about costing Eric the match because he wasn't going to win the match anyway. You know what I mean? So, but he at least got, I thought, was going to get a good lesson out of it and be done with it. But he's a stupid jock, apparently, who is brain dead. You know, he
let his emotions get the best of him there, too.
Yeah. It, like I said, he could have done something then. You know what I mean? Like, I low blowed him. He didn't try to fight back or anything. You know what I mean? Like, when he got up, he didn't try to come after me when I was running my mouth with the promo. Then
he was
kind of
choking on his jewels, though. He was kind of choking on his jewels, though, for real.
Yeah, that's true. But then, if you even go to the next match with him and Pilgrim, where I attack him after the match. He didn't try to fight back. You know what I mean? So he took an ass-whipping that match. Like, so much so that my daughter, Liberty, is a huge Eric Ely fan. She was legit pissed at me for how
I
bad
know.
I
what
hurt.
Happened with that? How does that work?
I don't get,
good heavens.
She just turned 13, and she thinks he's hot because he's got the muscles. So
yeah.
Eric's doing what he does good. Uh-oh. He's preparing for selfies. You know what I mean? He ain't preparing to win a fight. But listen, you're a dad, right? How rewarding would it be for you to get to beat the crap out of somebody that a daughter was madly in love with? How rewarding would that be for you? That's like every dad's fantasy
that would,
has a daughter, right?
It really would. It really would. It'll send a message. And you need to keep that. And every first date, that's what you need to show this guy. And I mean, when you come in to meet the parents, how you doing, buddy? Have a seat. Let me show you this quick clip. This is her first crush. Oh!
That is awesome.
That's me beating his ass.
that's true. You know, this is why you're a great mind. This is why I appreciate your friendship. I'll say it to you. I appreciate you. I'm like, Eric, don't want to appreciate me.
And
I appreciate you,
Mr. Breeding, Mr. Knox. I certainly appreciate you.
Absolutely. All right, man. I'm going to get off here, so I got some stuff to do. But I appreciate you having me on here.
Thank you, man. And I appreciate you, sir. And I will appreciate the ass-whooping you put on Eric Ely here at Metro Pro.
Awesome. November
and
7th,
thank
Party
thank
Hall.
You again for your time.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Later, man.
RK Hall. We'll be there.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Bye, brother. All right. Matt Breeding, Eric Ely, November 7th, RK Hall. Man, it's going to be a lot of fun. We were talking about the great Atlas Hightower. And actually, while we're on that subject, Martez, I believe you have a guest for us.
Yep, Atlas is here.
Atlas, the great Atlas Hightower, the greatest Cruiser Corps champion of all time. Welcome to the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing very, very well, and thank you for having me on this long-ass title of a damn show, Rated R 313 Southwest Podcast, 1, 2, 3, 36, freaking Latitude Dub, man. You guys got a long title for this thing, man. What's up?
I had to plug the channel too, man. Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We're just one show of many.
Okay,
and man,
speaking
of appreciating, I appreciate you, Mr. Hightower. I appreciate your time.
Well, Matt, I appreciate
the work you've put in lately.
Thank you. Just been doing my thing, man. Figuring out, you know, running this ring. Not really doing shit.
Man.
Doing that. Other than that.
Man, you brought that up.
Dallas Hightower.
So. yeah. Alice Hightower, I think so much of this guy. The back window of my truck, I got this new truck. It's nice. I decided my back window has wrestling stickers. Atlas got two stickers, bro. One on each side.
That's what's up.
Because he's that fucking
Boom.
Good. And
Boom.
Actually, believe this or not, I have to buy a third Run This Ring hoodie. My wife took the one I got at Horror Slam. My 18-year-old son, Jack, the one I bought the month before at Pro Wrestling All-Stars. So I'm going to have to get a hold of Miss Jamie. And get, I think I want a gold one. I'm going to get another one. We're going to see how long I can. I lose Run This Ring sweaters like Chuck Stein loses PWA Federal Championship. 24 hours, man, till a week. And I need a new one. I don't have it anymore. But you brought up the Run This Ring. A few weeks ago, you were telling me, you said, to me and Day-Day, actually, do you know what that means? Can you explain to everybody? Because it actually really means something really powerful. And when you said it to me, man, it spoke to me deep.
Well, I can't really go word for word what I said a couple weeks ago, but
sure you can.
It's pretty much
rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast. You say whatever the fuck you want.
All right, then. Well, it's pretty much along the lines of just whatever you do in life, you run it, man. Like if you are a teacher, if you are a cop, you run a podcast. You good at chess. Anything. If you're good at anything, if you want to be the best at anything, just run this ring. Don't let nobody tell you no. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't do this or anything like that. Just, you know, do your own thing. Don't let nobody tell you no and run this ring, you know. I mean, you know. That's pretty much it. So, anything else?
So, man, you've been doing big things lately around here. That's what I wanted to talk about and talk about what your immediate goals were. I mean, you've made your shooting to the top of PWAS. They, you know, you had a great show in the Horror Slam.
Goals.
Hey,
so much as goals, I really don't know. I mean, I have a real good idea. It's just I feel like the only thing that is stopping me is myself, and I feel like I need to push myself more to get out there more. Because what I really want to do
run this ring, man. Yeah, is it Briar?
Nationwide.
Man, run that shit. Take Briar's belt. Take, you know, fight Drag King. Take 100%. That belt. Beat Movado. Damn it. Somebody beat Movado. Fuck that guy. I don't know. I don't want to see him win. I don't like when Movado wins. Fuck them kids. All them kids cheering for him. Fuck them kids, man. Whoop Movado's ass.
Movado's a good dude, man. But Movado's a good dude, man. He's a real good dude. Just sometimes can't really understand what the hell he says. So. At least in my experience. So, yeah.
You need to whoop that alien ass and reclaim your Cruiser Core title, so you can go on. Tanner impressed me. He really did. I got behind Tanner as the champion. And dude, I was pissed when Movado beat him. I was like, oh, that's such crap that you know he lost it in that match, but. It's time. It's time that Atlas Hightower
he'll get it back in one day.
Gets back in that picture. Or is that
Tanner
what you want? Or do you want to be the heavyweight champion?
Day. Listen. 10 or 1 day will get that back. And that Cruiser Core Championship is a dope title. It's a prestigious title. I'm actually one of the guys who brought a lot of prestige that.
You are the greatest Cruiser Core champion of all time. I really mean that when I say that. I've always said that. Because you did.
Well,
you made that title the match of the night, the one to have. I mean, it really was. I believe it was pretty prestigious when Ridiculoso held it too, but more so when you had it. And, you know, you made it that way. Much like The Miz made the Intercontinental title prestigious, which he did. He talked that shit, but he did.
Thank you very
he
much.
He did that. And
well,
you did
thank
that.
Thank you very much.
That's why I want to see you get, man, beat Movado, please. Rivera, please.
Beat Movado.
Actually, fuck that guy.
Just,
you're going to have to go around Rivera somehow.
Like, hey, man, let me beat you, man. Hey, yo, man, let me, you know, let me win. No, that's not.
Smack
that's not,
his fucking nugget
work.
Piece with a chair. The next time you see
yeah.
him dancing around like an alien goof, smack his fucking nugget piece with a chair. He will beg you to come take the title from him. Promise you.
You know what? Just to make you satisfied, I will. I will close this about Movado. Movado is one of the, like, he's one of the. He's one of the best, man. Like, the guy has been around since I was a kid, man. Okay? The dude keeps
yeah.
up with everybody. The man, he changed his whole diet. Like, he lost all this weight. And
he's
now
a freaking alien. He shouldn't even be allowed to wrestle with y'all.
But Josh Movado is a guy who works hard. You just can't understand him. Like, I really don't get, you know, what planet he's from. But Josh Movado,
play in Detroit.
This, man. If you ever want to step into the ring with me, talk that little jibber-jabber, yeah, stuff to me, and we'll see what can happen, because who knows? Who knows? It just might be his last night as champion if he steps into the ring with me. But
man,
I'm not the one.
You need to run this planet, Detroit. Run this planet. Hashtag run this planet. Ellis needs to be
RTG.
The next contender. That's right. RTG. Run this planet. When Dana gets better, I'm going to have him make me a graphic. RTP. Run this planet.
Doesn't he have diverticulitis, I think it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That man will definitely be in my prayers.
Thank you, man.
Oh,
and we talked about that at the beginning
of
the show. That
now, so.
All three of us are men
but.
Of faith, and we asked all of our listeners if, you know, they could, if they are, you know, the praying type, that they would keep Dede in their prayers. And we have faith he's going to get better real soon. And,
yeah
you know
cool.
It's bad when he missed Horror Slam, man.
And
that was before he went to the hospital.
Because, like, that was, like, kind of weird because it's like, I mean, you always see him at the shows and he just doesn't hear it. It's like, huh, kind of weird. But
flared up by him quick.
100%. That is a good dude, man. You know, always in good, you know, always in good spirits and, you know, always cool to hang around with. You know? But
absolutely.
He'll definitely kick out, though.
Yes. He would definitely kick out. He ain't going to even get to two, though. He's going to kick out before two. I know he will.
How are you? You though, man. You all right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. We're we're kind of going through it over here. My wife's in the hospital, too.
Yeah.
It's been, man, a crazy time. It's like so many people I know are going through shit, and not even to do with the virus. Data don't have COVID. My wife don't have COVID. It's just people are going through shit right now. It's just,
yeah, man.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Awful. But, yeah, we trust God. Everything, you know, things taking it day by day, you know.
100%, man. 100%. Estar Allah.
Beautiful. Estar Allah.
Arabic for God's will, man.
Indeed. Indeed.
But
So you'll be making an appearance this weekend at TKW, right?
Yes, sir. The FRG, the Freedom Ramsey Group. We will be taking on the Purge. Now let me address something about the Purge here. The people who are into the Purge are not the kind of people that I would associate with in life. People who are like anarchists and people who are like thugs, you know, people who like to endure rioting, you know, that's not really my thing. That's not really the FRG thing. So at Total Chaos on Sunday, the Purge will know that the Freedom Ramsey Group, the FRG, we will be in a street fight with them, and they will know that the FRG will set them free because they're sinful, and most of all, so...
The mayor is not going to stand for corrupt.
Hold on, wait, hold up. I'm not done yet here, but this weekend, this Saturday, the Purge better open their eyes, open their ears, and keep their mouths shut, because there's going to be a new law in town, and the Purge will not be a part of that law. So Saturday, the citizens of TKW will see that the Freedom Ramsey Group are number one. You understand me?
Led by the mayor and the champion, Freedom Ramsey.
That's another thing too. With our esteemed leader, Freedom Ramsey, we will show them the light. We will show them guidance. We will show them that going out at night is not really cool. It's kind of passe. Like, as human beings, we evolve from that. We should be able to progress, not digress, such as my good friends of the Purge. Because
and
the
human
FRG,
skin needs sunlight.
Group, excuse me?
And human skin needs sunlight.
Got that right. They also need some life, too.
What's wrong with these guys?
Because if you ask me, their souls are dead.
Yeah, they're kind of whack. I was with the Purge. My son, he's still on it. But like I said, man, fuck them kids. What do they know?
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you this. Saturday, the Purge will be no more. Not a promise, not a threat.
Do you think Justin Pilgrim is still suffering from the effects of that ass whooping he took last month at TKW at the hands of the Freedom Ramsey Group?
That is not going to be nothing compared to what I'm going to do, what we are going to do, the Freedom Ramsey Group is going to do to the Purge on Saturday at TKW. Nothing compared. What you guys saw last month, nothing yet.
Yeah, and, man, I seen Justin Pilgrim leaving. He was not using that arm. He signed a couple autographs. He tried to, you know, use his hand. He wasn't able to use that arm at all. Just decimated that surgically repaired shoulder.
Yeah, well, there's a target, man.
To me, he's the strongest of the three is definitely Justin Pilgrim.
Well, we'll see about that.
No doubt.
Not when he steps in there with me. I'm going to show him what's up. I want to school them.
Absolutely
not. I want to educate them.
And that shows what a humble, intelligent guy you are. That, you know, your priorities are what they are. Your priorities in TKW are not to be the champion. The champion is with you. You stand with the champion, you know. And right now, I believe the Freedom Ramsey Group holds all the power in TKW. They are the most powerful faction, the most powerful entity in TKW is the Freedom Ramsey Group.
Got that right. I'm going to have to let you go.
Can we expect that group to – oh, hey, thank you so much for being on tonight and for your time and for sending your prayers to my brother, the Southwest Texan. And, man, I will see you Saturday. Yeah. Thank you very much, Atlas.
Allah Umak. You have a good night, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Bless
good
you.
Night. Here it is, Saturday, TKW. That's, I believe, the main event is going to be the Freedom Ramsey group versus the Purge in a street fight. Actually, I think it's a Purge rules match, technically, but it's a fucking street fight. It's going to be a brawl all over the place, and, you know, we're going to see who comes out on top. So, we were talking earlier about Briar Wellington had defended his deathmatch championship. I know we're running a little short on time, but do we still have Zeke Martez?
Yes.
And by the way, the Southwest Texan is the fucking man. Martez is. I completely suck at this. Man, Atlas, sorry to keep you waiting. Jack Knox, sorry to keep you waiting. I suck at this whole timing thing. I completely suck at this. But I'm still having a fun time doing it. Day-Day, I hope I made you proud.
Yeah, you did a great job.
But Zeke, if he's on, was done a great injustice. Rick Cardi, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
I know, bro.
Are you okay? A more important question is, how is your hand? Are you okay?
Yeah, I had to get 11 stitches because of the tacks.
Are you going to be able to count any time in the near future?
Yeah, you seen I was able to count right after. Right after, it was just like the pain went away.
How bad did that hurt after enduring the thumbtacks? To have to count that three.
Oh, man, it hurt so bad. But I was like, there's nothing. I got to get the victory to somebody. I'm going to endure all this pain just to count the three. And I did it.
I know what the fuck is wrong with this guy. He can't wait 2 seconds for you to pull some tacks out of your hand. I mean, there's glass everywhere, tacks everywhere. You jump right into place. You're right where you're supposed to be. And... 1, 2, handful of tacks.
Yeah, and then I hand Briar his title, and then he just thinks he can grab me up and blame me. It's not my fault you couldn't kick out of a roll-up.
I mean, and what are you to do? Like, a ref don't owe somebody one. The match goes as it will. A referee calls it the best he can, call what he sees. And, I mean, you've seen the roll-up. It's right in front of you. As you're arguing with him, you're digging the fucking tacks out of your paw.
Yeah.
And fortunately, there wasn't you were able to get around the tacks in the glass and actually hit the mat three times without getting injured any further.
Oh, man, I believe that. Counting the three, an extra three times did injure me further.
Man,
but
that's probably where the stitches came in.
Yeah,
I mean,
man, I got an old school beat down, and it's not even right.
So the guy drops you on your fucking nugget piece twice. I mean, what did you fall on there? I sent you the footage.
Greg, I really hope you wasn't somebody that was saying one more time, because... I know you're better than that.
Absolutely. Oh, no. Actually, you have my video. You didn't check the audio. Absolutely not. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Hey, when you have it coming to you, I clamor for it. But that was bullshit. This is a death match. I mean, well,
I know
it turned into a death match.
I had tacks in my hand, and when I hit his two count, I was like, I had so much pain that he just didn't understand that I couldn't give me 2 seconds and I'll hit the three for you. But he'd rather argue with me than give me 2 seconds.
It looked to me like you were just trying to remove the tacks out of your hand.
That's all I
did. You winced and you got up on one knee. You didn't get to your feet until he confronted you. He basically, gripped you up. It's like, Yeah, and the guy obviously lost focus on the fact that he was in a heavyweight championship
match.
And so that's where the experience difference came in. And, I mean, was Breyer going to kick out? He's not going to, you know. I mean, Breyer may have kicked out. There was still a full second. That's a long time. I mean, how many two and three quarters do you see?
He thought if he hit his finisher on me that he got the title, but he hit the finisher on the wrong person.
I'm sorry, man. I just seen we're out of time, man. Thank you so much for calling. Hopefully we can continue this conversation with Day-Day next week, man, on our finale.
Yeah, no problem. Whenever you guys want, just let me know.
Stay tuned for the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. They're going to talk about Chicago. They're going to talk about wrestling. Always, thank you. Thank you for your prayers, everybody. Have a good night.
Call this pay-per-view the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. That's what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martez. I run with winners.